Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome aboard this Friday evening. No, hell no, it's Thursday. I'm trying to hurry my way towards Tuesday. You'll have to forgive me. I wasn't planning on being behind the microphone until Friday. I was planning on being on a remote this evening down in South Charleston. And for anyone who listens to the archive later from Seneca 2, I humbly apologize. I sent an email earlier saying we wouldn't be able to make it down there. These things happen. It's no shame to say what you don't have. God Almighty, the only people that are ashamed to talk about what they don't have are the people who are, we're pig lickings. Fact of the matter is, we didn't have the fuel to get there. That's all there is to it. And just kind of have to deal with that. So I'm sorry you're not hearing the address or about to hear the address by the Rabbi Arthur Waskow. I was sincerely looking forward to it. But these things happen. This ain't what Mark Levine was saying in the previous hour. This isn't right-wing radio, where corporate America writes a huge check no matter what kind of filth you pump into the air. The only thing we've got on our side is honesty, candor, and a whole bunch of facts. And frankly, your support, and that's what gets us through. You know, I said at the end of the show last night, it's been a tough October, and by God, it has. It has. But we've made it through another month here on the Horn. And God willing, the crick don't rise, we'll make it through November, too. Like I've said before, I'll be here till somebody comes and takes all the stuff away. Which, God willing, won't happen for quite a while. So that's why you're not hearing the address, and I apologize. Suffice to say that it is frustrating in the extreme. Because the folks at Seneca 2 work really hard to bring these things together. And they never fail to bring in great, great speakers. An opening query for the evening, if you don't mind. And it is this. Do you know, and since everybody is listening to this via some sort of a computer connection, hopefully that you do. You know what Godwin's law is? Simply put, Godwin's law is something that was formulated. Wikipedia refers to it, and this is one of those things you can trust Wikipedia on. A lot of stuff, but this, you know, it's a place to start from. Mike Godwin in 1990 formulated Godwin's rule of Nazi analogies, and as an adage, of course, 1990, that goes back to, you know, that's before the tubes were in series. That's when they were just wandering tubes out there with Usenet computers hooked up to them. Mike Godwin said, as a Usenet discussion grows longer, the probability of a comparison involving Nazis or Hitler approaches one. And it's been the truism of it has been proven time and again. And it has developed it's developed a life of its own. To the extent that there are corollaries and things like that, tangentials and whatnot. One of those corollaries is called Dodd's corollary. And Dodd's corollary says, when debating a particular subject, if a comparison or implied connection is drawn between the opponent's argument and Hitler and the Nazi Party, the maker of that statement has automatically discredited, and the debate is automatically lost by the person or group who referenced the connection to Hitler or the Nazis. Got that? The first person to violate Godwin's law loses. And I bring up Godwin's law, and by the way, just a few days ago, Rachel Maddow proposed a corollary of her own, Maddow's corollary to Godwin's law, that says that as the time a liberal candidate is believed to be winning an election or argument increases, the probability that they will be labeled communist or socialist approaches one. We've seen the truth of that, too. But for the purposes of this analysis, I think we're focusing on Dodd's corollary. Namely, that, and what it embodies is the idea that when you start screaming Nazi, Nazi, Hitler, Hitler, you've lost. And I mention all of that for a particular reason. And that is some audio that I'm about to play for you here. And, you know, election seasons, as I said last night, don't take place in a vacuum. And Republicans don't smear in a vacuum, and they don't smear with a fine brush. They tar with a broad one. So that what happens is they'll use one issue to advance another. For instance, the reason that Proposition Hate is on the ballot in California has very little to do with the sanctity of marriage, and everything to do with trying to get the little mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking fundamentalists to come out to the polls so that they can then leverage them into voting for Republican candidates. Proposition Hate in 2008 is the equivalent of, you know, Charlton Heston standing on the stage at the Raleigh County Civic Center, or Guard Armory, or whatever the heck it is these days, in Beckley, West Virginia, in 2000, and screaming, Al Gore's gonna get your guns, and they can have mine when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers, you dirty ape. Or something like that. Or the effort that was made in 2004 to convince mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking people who own Bibles but don't read them that John Kerry was gonna take theirs away. In other words, you leverage voter participation in the fundamentalist right-wing dumber than a bag of hammers crowd by giving them a red meat issue that doesn't have a damn thing to do with American life and dragging them emotionally and psychologically to the polls and then leveraging their presence to try to get a bounce out of the or coattail effect out of the rest of your ticket. So we're clear on where I'm going here. All right. So I offer you a little something something from the crowd who is are supporting Proposition Hate in California. We're talking about a doofus named Dacus. Brad Dacus. Dacus. Doofus. He's an official, man, official. Like, you know, got the T-shirt and the secret decoder ring and the certificate suitable for framing. He's an official Proposition Hate spokescreep. He's the president of the Pacific Justice Institute, which is, oddly enough, a charitable organization under the IRS code 501c3. And it's the Pacific Justice Institute is comprised of religiously insane lawyers who have no business practicing in this country. And this is what Brad Dacus Doofus had to say yesterday. Working. Oh, I played it earlier. The heck's wrong with it? I don't want to read the transcript. Okay, let's try this again, friends and neighbors. We'll get to it yet. But, you know, as I said, I don't just do things This is not just an idle reference to Godwin's law or Dodd's corollary. Because, well, you know what's coming, don't you? Sure you do. That's right. Married heterosexual evangelicals are now placing themselves in the role, sickening, of the Jews facing the Holocaust. You see, because they're part of a death cult, they can't view anything except via the prism of persecution. And it makes them, were they not so hateful and loathsome, it makes them pitiable in the extreme. And so you've got this, well, doggone it. See, teach me to do radio on the fly. Had it earlier. Don't have it now. But they did that. Let me see if I can get this from some other place. Boy, this really just throws a monkey wrench into the flow of the show, doesn't it? Oh, this is really annoying. I assume, by the way, okay, that's what's happened here. Well, we've lost our internet connection. Bless my soul. Let me reboot. Stand by, please.
Don't!
Well, so anyway, now that for those of you who stuck around, thank you. I don't know where my inner tubes went, but they appear to be back, and let's see if we can swing back into the groove of things. I'm told that the programming was lost long about when I started talking. So you got the part about Godwin's law, and so we talked a little bit about Brad Doofus Doofus, who runs is the president of the Pacific Justice Institute. So anyway, he was exhorting followers and proponents of Proposition Hate yesterday. This is what he said.
It's about the time. The time is now. There's another time in history when people, when the bell tolled, and the question was whether or not they were going to hear it. The time was during Nazi Germany with Adolf Hitler. You see, he brought crowds of clergy together to assure them that he was going to look after the church. And one of the members, bold and courageous, Reverend Niemöller, made his way to the front. And he was bold to say, "Herr Hitler, we are not concerned about the church. Jesus Christ will take care of his church. We are concerned about the soul of Germany." Embarrassed and chagrined, his peers quickly shuffled into the back. And as they did, Adolf Hitler said, "The soul of Germany, you can leave that to me." And they did. And because they did, bombs would not only fall upon the nation of Germany, but also upon the church and their testimony to this very day. Let us not make that mistake, folks. Let us hear the bell.
So I played that for a reason. Like I said, these things overlap. And when there's only one reason that Proposition Hate is on the ballot, and that's to bring the haters out and get them to vote. It's the same thing they've used with the abortion. You know, look, how many years? 1973, 2003, 25 years. 25 years the right-wing, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing freaks have been fighting a woman's right to control her own body. But they never really want to win, do they? No, of course they don't, because it's way too effective at bringing out the weirdos. Like that quote from Victoria Jackson I shared with you last night. Barack Obama, maybe someday you'll learn to love unborn babies. Yeah. Well, by the same token, this. But a bit of optimism, I hope, insofar as this creepy little freak just violated Dodd's corollary to Godwin's law. There is no comparison whatsoever between the gay community's attempt to attain, well, not to attain in California's, in the case of California, not to attain, but to preserve full civil rights. You see, civil rights have finally been granted in California, and these, yeah, who's the fascist? Just curious. Who's trying to wave the bloody Nazi shirt? Yeah, the haters, the proposition hate proponents. But what's important is to note that there is a certain amount of, you know, the reason Godwin's law has stuck around and the reason Dodd's corollary became Dodd's corollary is because it's verifiable. In their desperate hate, these monsters in Sacramento yesterday have confessed their defeat. By the way, who is Brad Dacus Docus Doofus? Well, he was behind, and thanks to Crooks and Liars for putting this out there. He's the one who got behind the law that would let parents take their child out of any school activity in California that violates their religious or moral beliefs. This is, you know, like when you try to teach children about, you know, not first graders, not like the Repiglicans have just made up out of whole cloth, but a class to take, some ninth graders out of a that would teach them what condoms are for. And these freaks, by virtue of this guy's efforts, should be, he believes Pilton children should be able to get out of classes that teach them how not to get killed by sex. But Godwin's law is on display there. And if there's any truth to it, we know that both Proposition Hate, the McCain campaign, and a great deal of Repiglican venom all over this country are dead, dead, dead. And by the way, just make stuff up about the Third Reich. This business about the soul of Germany, you can leave that to me. And they did, and because the bombs did not only fall upon the nation of Germany, but also upon the church and their testimony to this very day. What? But that's not all there is to it. Just checking in. The One News Now bunch. By the way, Mark Levine mentioned something about, you know, tell your friends, tell your neighbors. I'm at a story at One News Now right now, and they use Ustream TV, which eventually maybe we will too. They use Ustream TV to get out their message of hate. Right now, there's something like 1,537 religious fundamentalist freaks watching a guy who is spewing this garbage.
From the early voting in Florida, and anyway, they determined between the early voting and the exit
kind of
ballot,
like sneaking in,
there are probably
right?
5% more Democrats voting than Republicans, which is amazing in itself because it's so many more. I mean, supposedly, you know, Obama is supposed to have, you know, had this massive wave for him, but get this: according to the exit polling, McCain's up by 4
in Florida.
Yes, in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well,
and another thing is, in California, they've had 210,000 people either early vote or absentee ballot, and of those, only 1,000 more Democrats than Republicans have voted.
Wow.
1,505 people listening to that filth right now. What's One News Now? One News Now is wholly the creature of the American Family Association, a 501c3 that was smart enough. You know, nobody, they're monsters, they're fascists, they're freaks, they're filth. But they've got enough money to burn a herd of wet elephants, and they understand the value of having the voices out there. It's what Mark was talking about. And I've watched this low rent Limbaugh wannabe geek a couple of times, and frankly, he couldn't carry my jockstrap or Mark Levine's either, let alone our shoes. But that's okay. The other side funds this stuff. And One News Now is having an absolute purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy fit. A guy named Charlie Butts, no less, at One News Now is having a hissy fit. Apple Incorporated, you know, is trying to defeat California's Proposition 8, which would protect one of society's core traditional institutions, heterosexual marriage. Google was one of the first announcing publicly last month its opposition to Proposition 8. Now Apple has donated $100,000 to kill the measure that is designed to overturn the California Supreme Court decision legalizing homosexual marriage. Randy Thomason of SaveCalifornia.com. That's right, because California is in danger. California might just break off and slide into the sea from all the crazed, all the wild nuptials. Oh, my God, I can't contemplate it. Save California. He's not surprised by the computer maker's decision. You want to know what Randy Thomason said? He said Apple Computer's co-founder Steve Jobs was on the vanguard of promoting homosexuality voluntarily within his company years ago. Huh? What, Edith? On the vanguard of promoting homosexuality voluntarily. Voluntary homosexuality, voluntary promoting? I don't know what that adverb's doing there. He really sees his spirituality out of India, where he traveled. Yep, that's right. Go to India, come back, it's all gay-friendly. That's, yeah, absolutely. You didn't know that? Oh, just ask a fundamentalist. But this is the best part. This is where they're really going to make sure that there's no Apple users in Fundy World. Steve Jobs sold his first computer with Steve Wozniak in 1976 for the price of $666.66. Amen and amen. So, you know, there's a lot of these corollaries going right now. On the one hand, you've got the freaks in California screaming, comparing gay people to Hitler. Them homos are going to get your church. Well, you heard me reading the letter from 2012, and the churches are now deemed public accommodations, and they cannot say anything about their religious beliefs about what an abomination homosexuality is. These people are vibrant. I mean, these people are like little beads of water on a hot skillet just dancing and banging all around out of nothing but sheer ignorant terror. And Steve Jobs sold his first computer for $666.66. Friends, neighbors, brothers, sisters, I don't have to tell you what that means. That's right. Steve Jobs is the Antichrist. Well, wait a minute, Mr. Thomas, and all your other buddies are telling us that Barack Hussein Obama is the Antichrist. Oh, sorry. He is. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. On Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, it's Steve Jobs. Well, what if we're, like, listening to our sermons on an iPod? Well, then the iPod puts secret instructions from Satan right underneath the sermon, so it's no longer effective. Yeah, no kidding. So that reminded me of something. My lovely daughter sent me something last night. We live in the same house, and I get email from my kids. Daddy, where are you? She sent me this email, and the subject line says, "Are you busy, Brother Bob?" And it says, "Satan's meeting. read even if you're busy. Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. In his opening address, he said, "We can't go in the truth. We can't even keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior." Ew! Once they gain that... I'm using the wrong voice again, aren't I? Once they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches. Let them have their covered dish dinners. But steal their time so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, intimate or otherwise. "This is what I want you to do," said the devil. "Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day."
"How shall we do this, Uncle Satan?"
his demons asked. "Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to borrow. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours and the husbands to work 6 and 7 days each week, 10 to 12 hours a day so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their families fragment, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still, small voice. Entice them to play the radio or cassette player whenever they drive. To keep the TV, VCR, CDs, and their PCs going constantly in their home, and see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays non-biblical music constantly." Wow, I guess CDs and radios and cassettes and CDs and VCRs and TVs are demonic, but DVDs are heavenly. You gotta have a heavenly income to afford Blu-ray, but never mind. "This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill the coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, mail-order catalogs, sweepstakes, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering, free products, services, and false hopes. Keep skinny, beautiful models on the magazines and TV so their outward beauty is what's important, and they'll become dissatisfied with their wives. Keep the wives too tired to love their husbands at night. Give them headaches, too. If they don't give their husbands the love they need, they will begin to look elsewhere. They will fragment their families quickly. Give them Santa Claus to distract them from teaching their children the real meaning of Christmas. Give them an Easter bunny so they won't talk about his resurrection and power over sin and death."
The Easter bunnies?
Satan, I've got a problem. Wait a minute, I'm on a roll. I'm also on toast occasionally. You can find me on eBay. "Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted. Keep them too busy to go out in nature and reflect on God's creation. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, plays, concerts, and movies instead. Keep them busy, busy, busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave with troubled consciences. Crowd their lives with so many good causes, they have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. It will work."
It was quite a plan. The demons went eagerly to their assignments.
Yay! Yippee! Hooray!
Having little time to tell others about the powers of Jesus to change lives, having little time for their God or their families, I guess the question is, has the devil been successful in his schemes? You be the judge. Does busy mean being under Satan's yoke? Please, pass this on if you aren't too busy.
I'll be damned. Who knew that Satan was a low-wage conservative Republican?
I mean, that's all there. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of truth in that.
But the salvation ain't coming in church.
You know, we can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior. And I don't know if there's lubricant involved. I don't know. Once they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken.
But the rest of this stuff, distract them from getting hold of the, keep them busy in the non-essentials of life, tempt them to spend, and borrow. You know, the devil didn't do this. Or, I mean, if the devil did, the devil is, like, controlling the people that these mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking freaks follow, politically and socially, right? News Ninja Gene chimes in. As much as I wish that no fundies used Macs, I know for a fact the Flush Flimball, promoter fundy-friendly radio, is an avid Mac fan. Back in the 90s, he hit the Mac-centric site begging Apple to underwrite his show. Oh, you black stinking orphan Mac thinking of what? But that's where we are this evening. They've jumped the shark. They've gone all Godwin's law, and they're out there openly invoking, you know, the devil and Hitler and stuff. These are desperate people. These are people who know they're sunk. God, I hope they know they're sunk. Ah, you right wing fundies, stay home. We can, well, not pray, but you know what I mean. And like cornered snakes, they're about as it's about as mean as a human being can get. And by way of proving that, I offer the following. A guy by the name... Wait. Before we leave the Hitler theme, the latest filthy little McCain ad. Do you live in Florida? Have you heard this one yet? My friends, I've heard that Barack Obama likes hummus. That means he will capitulate to Iran. That's damn near that. Check this out. The latest Iran ad, McCain ad, running in the Sunshine State.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Remember when Barack Obama said he'd sit down and talk with Iran without preconditions?
Ooh, here's
would
creepy
you be
Middle Eastern music?
To meet separately with...
Yeah, real creepy.
Without precondition, during the first year of your administration in Washington or anywhere else, with the leaders of Iran, Syria, Venezuela, Cuba, and North Korea.
Senator Obama, I would.
Maybe Obama doesn't have preconditions, but Iran does. Iran, whose president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, said Israel must be wiped off the map. Iran demands that the U.S. must cease its support of Israel, and that all U.S. military...
Man, that's some ominous nose flute music, isn't it?
...forces must leave the Middle East, meaning we abandon Iraq, Turkey, and Kuwait. What will Obama do? Will he admit he was wrong, or will he accept Iran's demands? Tough question.
Turkey? We've occupied Turkey? I mean, I thought I kept up with things. And Kuwait? Now, of course, you know who this is aimed at. My friends, I'm John McCain, and I approve this ad directed straight at really scared old Jewish people in Florida. Are you scared yet? You need to be scared. Do I need to say Ahmadinejad again? Or at least try? Ahmadinejad has preconditions before he'll talk to us. We have to leave Iraq and... We've moved into the realm of just pure, unmitigated, no two ways about it, BS! Bug spray! They've gone nuts! I mean, gone! Nowhere does it say that. I mean, that there's been not one news report of, well, never mind the fact that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad doesn't have any power in Iran, that it's all held by the mullahs. I mean, it's just saying. But nowhere has he said, no, you must leave Iraq and Turkey too, for we are going to get Turkey next. Did somebody put the brown acid in the McCain campaign's drinking water?
I mean, is that why they only shoot John McCain from one? I don't mean shoot. I mean, photograph John McCain from one side, you know, besides the fact that he's got that long-ass Frankenstein scar and that big old lump on the side of his head that's probably going to just, like, you know, bust out and spew aliens all over the place in a couple of weeks? Is the real reason that we can't see that other, because it's sitting there with the little concentric circles and wee, 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 you know, from what the acid's doing?
Don't take the brown acid. Don't.
Oh, John, weren't you listening?
My friends, the walls are breathing.
Not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. But that's where they are, because they are people motivated by fear and hate and utterly unable to comprehend a world in which they don't get to, in which they don't get to utterly destroy the planet at will. This is, oh, go figure.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is after America. We'll all have to eat stuffed grape leaves soon. Without the yogurt sauce.
Ah, well, that does it for me. If I can't have the yogurt sauce, no way. Ooh, some grape leaves would be really good about now. Really, with a little tzatziki? That tang with the yogurt and a little bit of lemon juice and a little onion, garlic. With the grape. Oh, yeah.
And so there's our food porn portion of the program, and having mentioned that, I have to play this. You may remember a few months back that in the course of a conversation, I offhandedly said, well, if you knew sushi like I know sushi, and our buddy Juanita just ran with it, and she has even recorded us a little tune working on that if you knew sushi theme. I figured you'd get a kick out of this, because I know she'll get a kick out of hearing it. Enjoy. If You Knew Sushi, by Juanita.
If you knew sushi like Bob knows sushi, oh, 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 what a dish. There's none so tasty as his gill pasty. Oh, oh, holy Neptune, such a fillet. Bob went fishing, fish took the bait. Back from seaside, Bob's the one who fixes a plate. If you knew sushi like Bob knows sushi, oh, oh, what a dish.
Is that wonderful or what? Her son sent that along to me yesterday. It just gave me a big old grin. I just love that. Thank you, Juanita.
So, you know, it looks like we're back on stable ground if you want to try this again. The phone number around this joint is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, H-E-A-D-O-N. Locally, or on your nickel for that matter, 304-658-3333. Like I said, everything does appear to be working. And, by the way, congratulations are due. The boss man, Wayne, is a proud grandfather this evening. I hope I'm not telling any tales out of school. But we got word that, his first grandson has come along. And a real healthy little fella, and I'm told has a big old head of brown hair, and mama is doing just fine, daddy's doing fine, and Grandpa Wayne is absolutely beside himself. So congratulations out to Wayne, and I know you'll all be tickled to hear that. Okay, let me see if I can get this thing back on track. You know, there's nothing like having 20 minutes of your show cut out from under you to completely just whoop. What? And so I'll try to get my head back under me. I get up in the morning, and our buddy Dennis down in Kentucky is apparently has to be up at insane hours of the morning, because I get up and there's usually some pretty good stuff waiting for me in my inbox from Dennis. And this was there earlier today. This is a beautiful thing. Sean Combs, who was Puff Daddy and then P. Diddy, and now he's just Diddy, has a video blog out there now. And he had something pretty profound, and I thought pretty inspiring to say, and I really appreciate Dennis sending it along. Check this out.
Diddy blog number 31, Diddy blog number 31, ain't no line too damn long. Ain't no line too damn long. Line ain't too long. Check this out. I woke up this morning. I am a little bit upset, as y'all can see. Woke up to an email that said, hey, Puff, I'm down here in Florida, and, you know, some of the people are going for early voting. Some people are driving up, seeing the lines, and they saying, I can't do that, man. The line is too long. I know y'all done lost your minds, right? It may not be true, but just in case it is true, and I love Florida, so this has nothing to do with Florida. It could be anywhere in the United States where they got early voting, or even on November 4th. If you see the line and the line look like it's going out the door to the next state, you just walk down to the next state and get on the end of the line. Imagine if Martin Luther King said, nah, oh man, my feet hurt, I can't march today. Imagine that. Imagine if people that were sitting in the diner said, no, I'm not going to sit down. I don't want to get beat on by the angry crowds. What if the people that was marching said, I don't want to get hosed down? We'd be using colored bathrooms right now, going to all colored schools. You don't need, y'all know what it would be. Ain't no line too damn long. Get on the line and vote, man. Don't even do it for yourself. If you got to stand online for 48 hours, that's nothing compared to the people that have given up their lives for you to have this right, for you to have the life that you have. Even if the life ain't great, it ain't the same life it used to be. Trust me. Ain't no line too damn long. I don't want to hear that. Mm-mm. Spread the word to your friends. Let them know. Let's feel good about standing in lines. We're not doing it for ourselves. Let's feel good. Let's feel good about a little bit of sacrifice for our kids, for our futures. That's all I got to say. Diddy blog a day. Keep McCain away. I'm out. Oh, make sure y'all subscribe to the...
Yeah. Get in the studio, Diddy. Man, that's a song. Ain't no line too damn long. And what truth there is in that. What truth there is in that. You know, this is one of those not rain nor sleet nor snow nor gloom of light gloom of night shall stay the voter from his or her appointment with destiny. Ain't no line too damn long. You know, and I think he could probably sample Ain't No Mountain High Enough and be pretty well along down the road. Ain't no line too damn long. You know what? I like that so much. Yeah, I'm going to geek on it.
I woke up to an email that said, hey, Puff, I'm down here in Florida, and, you know, some of the people are going for early voting. Some people are driving up, seeing the lines, and they saying, I can't do that, man. The line is too long. I know y'all done lost your minds, right? It may not be true, but just in case it is true, and I love Florida, so this has nothing to do with Florida. It could be anywhere in the United States where they got early voting. Or even on November 4th. If you see the line and the line look like it's going out the door to the next state, you just walk down to the next state and get on the end of the line. Imagine if Martin Luther King said, oh man, my feet hurt, I can't march today. Imagine that. Imagine if people that were sitting in the diner said, no, I'm not going to sit down. I don't want to get beat on by the angry crowds. What if the people that was marching said, I don't want to get hosed down? We'd be using colored bathrooms right now, going to all colored schools. You don't need, y'all know what it would be. Ain't no line too damn long. Get on the line and vote, man. Don't even do it for yourself. If you got to stand on the line for 48 hours, that's nothing compared to the people that have given up their lives for you to have this right, for you to have the life that you have, even if the life ain't great.
You know, I'm about half tempted to just make that daggum loop. Ain't no line too damn long. Mm-mm. Nope. So, you know, we're a little... the evening has certainly sort of gone sideways, and we've got some problems with folks trying to connect. And it's kind of hard to do, but I'm going to see what I can do here about making it easier for folks. And in the meantime, this seems more than appropriate. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
See mountain peak off in the distance. See a billion roads leading there. The higher each road goes, the closer they are. Till they all come together, and they're all one. But everybody got to walk. Everybody's got to walk. No, there ain't no free ride. Everybody's got to walk. You might have angel wings. You might be tied to a wheelchair, maybe a jet plane pilot. You might be nothing but thin air. You might be a Muslim. You might be Hindu. You might be Christian. Might be a Jew. But everybody's got to walk. Everybody got to walk.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
It's technically the second hour. We're probably still somewhere in hour one if you calculate the dead air. Got a recurring thing going on now. Got a, shall we refer to you as the Coal River Boys? I mean, it's not quite the Soggy Bottom Boys, brother, where art thou? But Nick and Benji are back into the studio this evening to hang for a little bit, and I'm grateful for it because I'm absolutely addled, guys. I mean, I should probably be a little bit more of a professional than this, but. You know, you sit there and you pull stuff together and you think, you know, okay, well, I really got it together. I had it all themed up and everything. You guys hadn't gotten here yet. Went to run a clip and found out the internet had died.
Oh.
And still don't know why. I honest to God, I still don't know why. But so there was, you know, something like 20, 25 minutes of dead air in there that, God. But we'll get through it all. Great to have you guys in here.
Well, thanks for having us, Bob.
Great to be here, man.
Yeah, this is big fun when we get to hang out. And I didn't know if y'all were coming up the road with anything in particular to bring to the table, or if we were just going to have a good old boys gab fest or what. Anything cooking?
Well, there's always something cooking.
Nothing in particular from my side, but, you know, we just came to be a part of what you got going on, man.
Well, I'm glad you are, and we've been banging a lot of ideas around, you guys are kind of forming up a little team, aren't you, as far as media stuff down there at Coal River.
Yeah, you know, got to have each other's back, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some stuff in the office, working on some cool videos and stuff. And that's one of the things. We got to sit down and do some storyboarding.
That's a great idea.
I can't draw a recognizable stick figure, but, you know, we'll storyboard some stuff out and have some fun along the way. Let me ask you this. Did you catch the Obama infomercial last night?
You know, we caught the last 15 minutes of it. I think we were actually listening to the show last night and weren't paying any attention to the time, and we caught the last 15 minutes or so.
Well, I kind of had to go back and watch it in delay myself, but I did notice, guys, he snuck that thing in there again.
Yeah. Right before he said it, I was like, he better not say it.
We were cringing.
He better not say it.
Oh, he did. But you know, it doesn't change the fact that.
I think, again, as we've said before, I think we've got a chance with this guy that we don't have with anybody else.
Yeah, I do believe that.
And, you know, okay, a little bit of background stuff. I got one of those email alert that blows out in the morning. And, you know, I felt one of the reasons I was kind of psyched for getting on the air this evening was because I was made to feel considerably better about what we do here by virtue of something I heard earlier today.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't... Well, you heard it, too.
Yeah, I did.
And this, you know, this is a philosophical thing. I got a notice out, and, of course, I followed, and I went over and went to the link, and I listened. I guess she's on, like, Sirius satellite radio, and she's out of the studios of the public radio station in Washington, D.C. I listened to Diane Rehm today, and, you know, I'm not faulting her because she's a pretty good liberal talker, liberal interviewer, I guess, sounds more like. I mean, she's not a lot of opinion. It's mostly news and interviews and stuff, as far as I can tell. But she had her Clean Coal show today for an hour. Clean Coal got an hour. And in order to do the Clean Coal show, this is how it was set up. It was her doing the interview, a scientist from Carnegie Mellon who sounded like, I don't know, he was kind of cloddy buttermilky, if you know what I mean.
At least, yeah.
Then there was a guy from the Bush administration, EPA, the Deputy Secretary for Fossil Energy. Is that what he was?
It's a joke.
Yeah, this guy was a fossil in his own right. And then they had some PR flack from Americans for...
American Coalition for Clean Coal.
Yeah, American Coalition for Brushing Your Teeth with Coal Dust or something. And then they had poor, and this is no insult to Jeff because Jeff's a good guy, Jeff's a smart guy, but they had poor old Jeff Goodell there all by himself with three coal whores ganged up on him.
3-1.
Yeah. It was pathetic. And when I said this is kind of a philosophical issue, it's kind of the difference about what we've got going on here. I go and I do my show prep all over the place. Somebody sent me a link to a Huffington Post article the other day about how dangerous, deadly, and other, and you know, all the words that we use to describe mountaintop removal at Huffington Post. So I click on the link and I go there. Did you guys happen to see this one?
I missed it.
It was like made the front page of the environment section at Huffington Post. And so I click on the link, and there's the article, and it's a valid article making all the right points. Up in the right-hand corner, though, a great big banner ad for Consol Energy, who are the rotten sons of bitches who are destroying destroying the mountain 2 miles down the road here.
Yep.
They're like...
They're involved in everything, if you notice that.
Look.
Good stuff, they're involved, you know what I mean? They have their way to get in their media. You know,
well, they're like a really bad case of jock itch or something. You can't get rid of it. I mean, I'm going somewhere to read about, you know, more data on mountaintop removal, on the filthiness of clean coal, the fakeness of it and everything. Boom! Consol!
It's there.
Bang! Americans for Balanced Energy Choices. Bang! Clean coal. You know, and it doesn't matter. It's all over the place. And so when I tuned into this thing on Diane Rehm this afternoon, and I hear that she's got three coal turds lined up against poor Jeff Goodell, it just sort of lit me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, every, you know, what, I think she read two emails and took two calls, and I'm sitting there going, damn. No wonder liberal, so-called liberal radio has a hard time getting a foothold in this country. Because, you know, we're liberals, so we want to be fair. We want to make sure that we give the other side adequate time, even though the other side buys all the time that wants to and can even insinuate its way into negative articles about it so that you, well, you know, okay, but Consol! What the hell are we thinking, guys? I mean, not we, but they, I mean, it, Am I making any sense, or am I just rambling?
Oh, no, you're making
sense. Yeah, man. I couldn't believe it myself. 3-1. You know, what's fair about that? What's fair about that at all? You know, you got one guy that has the, you know, non-Cole perspective on the whole situation.
Well, dare I hazard a guess, fellas? This is public radio, and I love public radio. I listen to it in my car, you know, when I'm out driving around. From time, you know, all things considered, morning edition, whatever. I'm not so hot on, you know, your harpsichord afternoon or whatever, but that's just because I'm, you know, I guess not intelligent enough to really appreciate a steady diet of Baroque music. the news coverage is okay, but the thing is, they, like us, only, you know, the comparison is, you know, mountains versus molehills, or, you know, little pile of dust on the ground where we're concerned. They do radio by having their hand out, too. And they rely on listener contributions, and they rely even more on advertising that isn't advertising. And I'll bet you guys, I'll just bet you that if you listen to that public radio station, at some point in time you're going to hear this portion of the day's programming brought to you by Americans for Balanced Energy Choices. So that if they didn't have those coal thugs on there, 3-1 against Jeff Goodell,
mm-hmm.
why, they'd lose money.
Well, the media's got a stranglehold on, you know, they have the stranglehold on the media. They have the money in order to put out the ads and stuff that they want. We don't, you know.
The sad thing is, man, is we get a better shake, you know, in terms of telling our story accurately in foreign media. You know, German public radio has been in here a bunch of times. They're coming again, you know. Yeah. We had Al Jazeera cover our stuff, you know, and they get it. They have mountains out there. When we were just talking about a while back the
Quran.
Yeah.
There's a passage in the Quran that says that the mountains have roots.
Of course.
That there's as much mountain under the ground as there is above it.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that's ever done underground coal mining knows that. Yeah, I mean, who hasn't been? I mean, the Danes have been in, the Germans have been in, the Norwegians have been in.
Exactly.
You get a more fair shake over there than you do with. But that's why we call it the for-profit only media. Calling it the for-profit media, but everybody wants to make a little profit. Everybody wants to survive. Everybody wants to, you know, be able to not sweat the small stuff.
No, that's true. But when, like, Anderson Cooper goes on CNN and his new, you know, mouthpiece slogan is keeping them honest, and then the next thing is the clean coal commercial.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not honest.
that takes a lot of panache. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, I'll have a run at that. Anderson Cooper, you want to keep them honest? Come out.
Yeah. Oh.
You read these things. But I changed the phrase. It's not the for-profit media anymore. It's the for-profit-only media.
Hmm.
Because they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn what they're doing as long as they're making a profit at it.
That's it, man.
Well, yeah, because look what they're doing to the communities in the state. Let alone everywhere else that's Mountain Timber is being done, you know?
And it's finally getting, you know, some notice like it should, man. There's, you know, even though the for-profit media ain't really giving it as much love, but, man, you go out in the blogosphere, and it's everywhere.
Well, am I wrong, or was this just something? The new Vanity Fair green issue is out right now, or did I see an old cover?
I'm not sure. Familiar
had
with that.
Picture, had Madonna was on the cover this
year. Oh, that's new.
That's new.
Okay,
yeah.
Then it's just out and brand new. So no, we're getting the message out, but we fight with one foot in the bucket.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because
one ham tied behind our back.
You know, and you know that these people aren't stupid. They're savvy. And Google, you know, Google Ads. They've got all these fancy algorithms so that, let's see, you search, you know, I hate mountaintop removal Wait, let's just try this out on air, live and unrehearsed, okay? I'm at the Google. Clean coal technologies.
This is good. I did this today, Bob, actually.
Clean coal technology. Oh, did you really?
Yeah, actually, I did the exact same search.
Okay, we're going to search clean coal technology, and we're going to see what kind of ads the Google algorithm sends us to. Coal gasification and Green Bank Energy Solution, coal flow balancing, clean coal technology, and boiler if it... Yeah. So you see, and there's Google who's got, what is that, G is greater than C, was that the name of their campaign where green, their GE is greater than C, green energy is greater than coal, blah, blah, blah. And they've got that corporate motto that says, you know, don't be evil. Well, guys, and it goes back to something I mentioned a couple of nights ago. Come on, we're of a certain age here. There's an age range here. Anybody here that did not get the Sneetches read to them when they were a kid? You know, I mentioned this a couple of nights ago, but it's so applicable because that's what you get out of the media, the for-profit only media, is that they'll sell ads. You know, they'd be happy to sell ads to us if we had millions of dollars to throw into ads.
Sure.
And they'll sell ads to the clean coal thugs, the coal mafia.
It's all about money.
And right, exactly.
That's it.
For-profit. Only.
That's right, man.
That's right.
You know, that's why I love the horn, man, because, you know, there's so very few outlets that actually aren't just completely freaking sold out. Across the board, sold out.
But that, you know, and that's the reason I bring that the philosophical thing up, guys. Everywhere you turn, even though what they're saying is an abject lie, and it's not just coal. It's right-wing philosophy, it's right-wing politics, it's right-wing everything. They get their say.
Yeah.
Even so-called liberal radio terrestrially, they get their say. And so you'll tune in to a three-hour program thinking you're going to hear some, you know, hear some conversation, hear some talk going back and forth, news of the day. You know, with something besides the corporate spin on it. And lo and behold, some right-wing freak will call up. And he'll eat up 10, 15 minutes of the host's time. Now, I'm not being critical of Mark Levin because I love him like a brother, but he showed us an example of that yesterday evening during his program. He had been filling in for a nationally syndicated terrestrial radio talker. And lo and behold, there he opens the lines and there's a wingnut. And they eat up the time that could otherwise be taken in refuting wingnuts, but you got to take them. And that's why, frankly, I'm not interested in them here. Mainly because I don't have time for them. You know, right now, as we stand on the cusp of history, I've got this crazy notion that I want to look at the right wing, whether it's coal thugs or people who want to control a woman's body, or people who hate other people for wanting to get married to the wrong people that they deem, you know, and they've got the right to say who's right and wrong. I want to look at all those people and say, all right, sit down, shut up, and listen, and maybe you'll learn something for once in your miserable, stinking lives.
No doubt.
Enough with the babble, and enough with the hate, and enough with the, he's a socialist, and he's a communist, and oh my god, the gay people are Nazis, gay Nazis from outer space! You know, they did that in Sacramento yesterday. Shut up! Because playtime's over.
Oh yeah.
On all of these issues, on everything that matters as far as a meaningful future for the United States of America, playtime's over. How much time do we have to get carbon out of our lives? Now, granted, we're carbon-based organisms. I mean, but to get carbon out of it, how much time do we have?
None. We don't have any time for that.
The latest reports said, you know, 10 years, 20 years tops, and then we reach that tipping point where the Earth is dying. I mean, where, you know, it's basically, to use a human health analogy, it's metastasizing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have time for the debate anymore.
That's why we
don't.
We need to do it now. We need to do it right now. You know, stop messing around with it.
Well, you know what scares me about that, man, is like, you know, global warming, greatest threat to mankind, right?
Yeah.
What is it going to take to get people to do something about that kind of thing, man? You know what I mean? I mean, really, what's got to happen before we just move on it and make it happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. And again, it's an across the board thing. We're at a tipping point in this country in terms of civil rights.
Yeah.
You know, we started down the right track. It actually started with Harry Truman. And his breaking the color barrier in the military of the United States. You know, it wasn't that noble of us deciding that persons of color had every right to be blown away right next to white folks.
Oh, yeah.
God, we're noble. So you got that. But Truman did that, and he was trying to go forward even further with it. There was actually a discussion in the Truman administration about universal health care. 1948!
Wow.
60 years!
You know,
60 years of debate about whether or not every American has the right to go to the doctor when they're sick. Debate's over!
It is. You know what we call those people, Bob? Knuckle draggers.
Mouth breathers.
Yeah, man. God.
You know, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Let people fix what's broken. Because it's by God broken. It really, really is. Healthcare. I got a story in here somewhere. Oh, I hope it showed back up. About how, what was it? Okay, we can get rid of that. Here it is. Groups, now this sounds good on its face, and that's why you've got to read this stuff carefully. Groups seek relief for credit card debtors. Because, you know, the market's been trying to, you know, poke its little groundhog head out of the hole, you know, because somebody with a lawnmower's been standing there for the last month. You know, darn, we lost Gary Groundhog. Next! So it's, you know, the market's trying to come back to life on this promise, and the Fed lowered it. We're running out of interest rates to cut. We're down to 1%. Not what they charge us, but what they charge each other on the inside where everybody knows the secret handshake. So we're down to 1% there, and the market's trying to ease up, inch up, inch up, inch up. But everybody knows that there's another monster off stage, because they can hear him going, and it's the credit card debt. The credit card monster is still waiting. You know, it's like those great old kung fu movies where everybody doesn't just rush in and kill the kung fu master like they ought to.
They all wait their turn.
They all wait their turn and come in one after another. And that's handy in a kung fu movie. But it's proven to be a real booger with the economy, because it's housing bubble. And then it's the commercial credit crisis, and now the credit card crisis is out there in the background going, and so they're trying to head it off at the pass. And this story comes the Associated Press had this one. An alliance of financial industry interests and consumer advocates asked federal regulators yesterday to allow lenders to reduce by as much as 40% the amount of credit card debt owed by deeply indebted consumers in a special program. Okay, I mean, in this case, we have a clear common interest, Travis Plunkett, Legislative Director for Consumer Federation, said. And it's an unusual joint request from the Financial Services Roundtable and the Consumers Federation of America. So it's people reaching across the aisle to help consumers and help the banks at the same time. We have a commonality of interest, and we can work together. But I read all the way through it, and just because my funny little head operates in a funny little way, I was going, what kind of debt is it? Bob, it's credit card debt. No. What kind of credit card debt? Because anybody who's ever read the fine print on a credit card agreement knows that there's a balance. You know, there's a principal balance,
mm-hmm.
and there's an interest rate, and there's an annual percentage interest rate, mm-hmm. and there's late fees. And there's over limit fees.
Yep.
There's all kind of, and in fact, we had a conversation with a guy about who goes by the handle of Jurassic Pork, who is over at welcomebacktopottersville.blogspot.com. Welcome back to Pottersville. That's right. Yeah, because he took down his old site and put up a new one. He pointed out in the course of a conversation that something between a third and a half of all bank credit card revenues are not derived from interest on the debt. They are derived from fees.
I believe every single word of that.
So what they're trying to do here is they're trying to craft
I'm trying to craft an agreement where the bank, well, what we'll do is we'll forgive the part of the debt that was just a bunch of made-up BS in the first place, okay? But meanwhile, a couple of years ago, we got fixed on the bankruptcy reform bill so that unsecured credit card debt gets treated like the same way as your home mortgage if you try to go bankrupt. So it's just one step away from debtor's prison. And so I read it, and I'm going, wait. Is there anything here? No, nothing there. Nothing in that paragraph. Nothing in that paragraph either. Current government rules don't allow lenders to offer repayment plans that reduce the amount of principal owed and borrowers to repay the balance over a period of several years. In cases in which, but guess what? The fees, anybody who's ever looked at their credit card statement, the BS fees and the bogus over-limit stuff and the bogus late fees and all that just manufactured garbage gets rolled into the principal. So that when they talk about principal, they're talking, and because remember at the top of the story, we found out that these are for deeply indebted consumers in a special program. That means they've been behind so long that they've just about come around and met themselves. So it's all late fees, and it's all there are people who get credit cards and think that it's free money. And it's not. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But they abuse them. Okay?
And that's what they want.
Well, sure they do. That's why, you know, that's why they play that credit card roulette. Okay, Bob Kincaid, we gave you a $1,000 limit and you spent that. Can you spend five? How about 10?
Let's see who we can bleed dry today.
Yeah. So I use myself as the example, but I don't have any plastic. But anyway, the whole point here is that this is a dodge. This is a dodge to get to hide the fees that have already been rolled into the principal, and then they say, "Well, you know, we're going to lop it off by 40%." But they're not losing anything because it wasn't money that they had lent in the first place. You're not being lent. They're not lending you the over fee. They're not lending you the late fee. They're not lending you. But they treat it like it on the balance sheet. And the Johnny on the spot, for-profit only media said, "Oh, that's the great, boy, they sure are helping them. They're reaching across the aisle and coming to an agreement." Oh, that's the sweet bug spray. And you know, that's another one of those crises. You know, bless his heart, you got Dennis Kucinich out there who has been, you know, he's been like the guy in the bell tower screaming, you know, "Look out!" Because of what's going on with the billionaire bailout bill. My Lord in heaven. It's stunning. Because here's the press release from yesterday. House Judiciary Committee Chairman John Conyers and Government Oversight Subcommittee Chairman Dennis Kucinich, and by the way, in this Congress, in the upcoming Congress in the House, Nancy Pelosi, Dennis gets a whole committee. All right. He's been there for a long time now. Dennis gets a whole committee. Give him a committee where he can make the Republicans really squirm. But anyway, expressed alarm that the $700 billion from the Troubled Asset Relief Program, otherwise known as the TARP. Don't you love it?
Oh, yeah.
We know from TARPs.
Blanket policy.
Has not yet been used to make loans to businesses and consumers. Recent media reports suggest the banking industry will not use these funds to facilitate lending, but will instead use them to facilitate mergers. Well, good God, they're banks. We're giving the money to banks. Banks don't, they're not going to give it away. Well, it's a bank. You gave us the money. We keep the money. We keep the banks. That's what we do, is we keep money. We don't give money away. I mean, look, you know, look at the trouble we just got in for giving the money away. We're going to keep the money. Did you ever see that MASH episode? The one where Trapper John and Hawkeye went off to Seoul or Tokyo or something in search of an incubator. And the guy said, "Well, I can't give you an incubator, but I can give you a pizza oven. You just write it in right there where it says submachine gun." But you've got two. "Yeah, but if I give you one, then I'll only have one." "And then what did I do?" "Well, that's the banking theory. Well, you give us the money. You can't have it back." But the really disgusting part out of all of this is that uh, uh, what uh, Conyers says it's very troubling to learn that the $700 billion rescue package sold to the American consumer is necessary to ensure to continue loans to small businesses and consumers is apparently being used instead to squeeze smaller banks out of the market. I'm concerned about the federal government using these funds to take sides in mergers and to promote consolidation within the financial markets instead of reviving our economy. Fellas, duh. To the guys on Wall Street in the silk suits at the three last banks we've got, for God's sakes, it's all a big monopoly board. Oh, bank error in your congressional error in your favor. Collect $700 billion. And
you just won the Wall Street beauty contest.
Yeah, collect $40,000 from every citizen.
And of course, there's always plenty of get out of jail free cards going around.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, George has one of those in his hip pocket of every suit. Kucinich said it seems evident that bailout funds are being used in unintended and objectionable ways. Nowhere is this more clear than in my district in Ohio, where National City was recently purchased by PNC. A bank that didn't receive bailout money was purchased by a bank that did. Federal money should not be used to subsidize consolidation of the banking industry. Well, amen. And what's more, you know, that there was, you know, we have to, again, what you said about we get a fairer shake from the overseas media. You couldn't find it in the New York Times, wasn't in the L.A. Times, but by God, there it was in a U.K. paper. They're taking this bailout money and they're using it to give each other's bonuses. There's not a, because somebody said, you know, guys, can you give us some written proof that you're not going to, you know, use the money to give each other big Christmas bonuses? You know, we had that form laying around, sir, but the dog ate it. I hear my mother calling. I'll talk to you later, okay? What? Oh, I'm shocked to see that I've just received a bonus. But that's what they're doing with it.
Taking care of each other.
Sure. And that's the thing. They're good at taking care of each other. Us, we try. Mm-hmm. But sometimes not so much. Because we don't have so much to take care of each other with. But you know, in terms of... you know, I've said on this program a number of times that there is no there's no nobility in poverty. You know, all these people. You ever notice it's only people who have lots of money who say that money can't buy you happiness?
Oh yeah.
Well, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, damn, you look pretty happy to me.
It's like the overweight guy.
Yeah, but it's not the money. It's because I'm fabulous. Right. So. Lo and behold, there's this really, really creepy right-wing puke by the name of Bill Cunningham. Sean Hannity called, you know, the Hannity job, the life support system for a haircut. He calls him a great American. So he decided a couple of days ago, 2 days ago, as a matter of fact, he decided to tell the world just exactly what the problem is with poor people.
There was a certain mentality in the war on poverty which essentially made the problem worse. With things like welfare, we changed welfare in the 1960s. We made it permanent. We changed public housing in the 1960s. Public housing had been something that people were in temporarily as they were trying to get a leg up, and people who had fallen on hard times, and they were then out of it. We changed those things. We as a result, created a dependency mentality in a lot of communities, and we made communities worse. And that's the thing that worries me the most, that we're going to go back to a way of thinking
that
encourages more dependence and makes communities worse
this is
again.
What community in America is
Here's
better off with more Section 8 housing and more welfare and more food stamps? Because unlike many countries in the world, Steve, we have fat poor people. We don't have skinny poor people. Ours are fat and flatulent. So what city in America has been helped by
Hey, poor people, quit farting! Did you hear that? They're fat and flatulent. Now, look, I mean, that was just an easy opening for a cheap shot. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you can do that or you can explode. The average human being does about 13 times a day is a statistic I read. Known people who did more, and some who I thought were going to explode. But this, I've said it before,
This is high-quality right-wing talk radio? Really? I mean, this guy is worth paying big bucks to? And giving an audience of perhaps hundreds or maybe even thousands? Really? For this? It's
more welfare and more food stamps, because unlike many countries in the world, Steve, we have fat poor people. We don't have skinny poor people. Ours are fat and flatulent. So what city in America has been helped by Section 8 housing, more food stamps, and welfare?
The problem is also with middle class and upper middle income parents too, because in a lot of suburban school districts, they also believe that
poor people are ruining the schools.
And you want to start a fight in a suburban school district these days? Suggest something like vouchers or charter schools as an alternative,
right?
And you'll just you'll start a wicked fight, because there's this notion even among upper middle and middle income parents that more money is always the answer. When we know, for instance, from the example of charter schools in the 1990s, which spend less money per pupil and do a better job of educating, that money isn't the answer.
Steve Malenga, the article is Obama's counterproductive war on poverty. The war on poverty was declared in the 1960s.
We're not done yet.
It was lost in the 1970s. The funding continued for poverty. You know, people are poor in America, Steve, not because they lack money. They're poor because they lack values, morals, and ethics. And if government can't teach and instill that, we're wasting our time simply giving poor people money.
Look at this guy told me, one of our employees, not
here's
of this
the fun
company
part.
Here, but some other companies that I've worked for, they told me, they said they're going to have...
Now, wait. Benji. What did I say a minute ago about right-wingers getting airtime and wasting air and electrons and radio spectrum bandwidth? Now, this guy that's calling this freak to agree with him, he's apparently some sort of boss or something. So let's try to get the full benefit of this here.
Mm-hmm. Can't teach and instill that. We're wasting our time simply giving poor people money.
Look at this guy told me, one of our employees, not of this company here, but of some other companies that I've worked for, they told me, they said they're going to have one day off a week. And I said, for what? I just got to have a rest. I said, well, we work 5 days out a week. You got Saturday and Sunday, and you can go to church on Sunday to learn about God. But then you got all day Saturday to do with your honey-do list. Well, I got to have a day during the week because all my brothers are down to liquor, so we got to go down there and hang out.
Right. In other words, the work ethic, shall we say, is lacking. The reason people are poor in America is not because they lack money.
Here it comes.
It's because poor people in America lack values, character, and the ability to work hard. And it's got nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with color. And, Buzz, things are about to fundamentally change in this country. I tell you, when you take San Francisco values of Nancy Pelosi with the Massachusetts values of Barney Frank and hook them up with a political hack from the daily political machine in Chicago named Obama, this...
Now, wait a minute. Wait. The San Francisco values of Nancy Pelosi? I don't know any people who are struggling to keep food on their families who have the San Francisco... What are San Francisco... You know what? If San Francisco values are, giving plenty, making sure that everybody has enough to eat, bring them on! Because you know what? People on food stamps in this country? $3 a day per person. Do that someday. You know, there was a rash of politicians going out there and trying to do this for a week a while back. I'd love to, wouldn't you love to see Flush Flimball or Hannity do this?
Yeah.
Give them $3 and... You know, you remember the old movie Trading Places?
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to give these right wing Republicans. I want to give Bill Cunningham $3, and give him $3 a day. No, let's make it easy for him. Let's give him $21, 7 times 3, and turn him loose in somewhere in Middle America, and let him eat.
Yep.
See, that's all you get. That's all you get. See, he won't get to lunch with the $21.
Yeah.
Because these people aren't fiscal conservatives. But you heard that. It's not about race. It's all about color. It's not about race. It has everything to do with color.
Yeah.
what the hell was that?
It kind of blew my mind when he said
that. He said that. He really, really said that.
That was a little bit of truth from Rush.
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
Those poor people in America lack values, character, and the ability to work hard, and it's got nothing to do with race.
You know, I think that's the one that pisses me off the most. Poor people in America lack the ability to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the banner the other day with some of that eliminationist rhetoric on it from some right winger. It was some smiling blondie headed thing, and she said attacking liberals with a shovel and a smile.
What?
And I try to be all, you know, kumbaya, my lord. You know, blah, blah. And but every time I work up a real good kumbaya, along comes the Bill Cunningham, and I'm thinking, no, baby. Why don't you talk that? Why don't you go out and talk that crap on the corner somewhere, sweetheart?
Please.
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of people giving you a lot of tough love.
Good loving.
Yeah. Oh God.
Case, it has everything to do with color. And, Buzz, things are about to fundamentally change in this country. I tell you, when you take San Francisco values of Nancy Pelosi with the Massachusetts values of Barney Frank and hook them up with a political hack from the daily political machine in Chicago named Obama, this country is going to take a hard turn to the left, and none of the working men and women are going to like it. Most of McCain's supporters don't have the time to go to a noon rally because we're working.
Yeah, you're working, yeah, Bill. That's right. Why you can't show up. You know, he may be right. He may be right.
I don't, man.
No, he may be right. Because all them people are working. All them people are out there working. That is why in Ohio today,
let's see.
It's Dookie and, oh, Wally and Dookie and Clyde at WD-40, they updated the page, and it's just a really, really, really funny photograph. In Ohio today, where Lumpy McHoover was campaigning, he was campaigning down in Florida with Joe the Plumber.
Oh, God.
And he forgot that Joe, whose real name is Sam, who isn't a plumber, he forgot that he wasn't with him. No, really. I mean, I swear to God, I swear, I think Lumpy, before Tuesday, is going to get to that Spinal Tap moment.
He's close right now.
Yeah, he's going to be somewhere in Pennsylvania, and he's going to step up to the microphone and say, "My friends, hello, Cleveland." remember Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
Hello, Cleveland! And he was in, you know, California. All the McCain supporters are at work because he was in Ohio today, and they had to bus in every student in the Defiance School District. Let's see. The fire marshal estimated there were 6,000 people there, and more than 4,000 of them were bussed in from schools in the area. Well, there's your bussing issue rising back to the fore. In addition to at least three other schools from neighboring districts, one of which sent 14 busloads of children. God, that's child abuse, isn't it? So then they get there, and this is what they hear. If it works.
Joe's with us today. Joe, where are you? Where is Joe? Is Joe here with us today? Joe, I thought you were here today.
Oh, God. Hello, Joe.
All right. Where's well, you're all Joe the plumber, so all of
yeah, you're all.
Let me stand up and say, I thank you.
You know, he's out of touch there, Bob.
He's not out of touch. He's out of his mind.
Yeah, you know what I mean. He's just completely out of it.
I mean, like the Aricept is not working.
Oh. Well, he was with Palin, wasn't he, last night? Somewhere. I think
Joe must have been off, you know, recording some songs.
Yeah, that's right. He's got to try and get
getting that country contract going. They got a real live, honest to God Nashville talent agency doing it for him. Just, yeah.
I want to try that.
Hello, Cleveland. God, oh, why don't I still have all that stuff that I used to have loaded for John Fox? I used to have Hello Cleveland right there at a fingertip, but it's not there anymore. So I tell you what, we'll take a little break. I'm getting emails saying, you know, how can I get the stream? So I got to forward some stuff along. We'll be right back. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. And without your support, we go precisely nowhere. Kind of learned that the hard way this evening. But this is The Horn, and we'll be right back.
Quit school when she was 17. Senator on TV calls her welfare queen. Used to be daddy's little girl. Now she needs help in this mean old world. Buys cassette tapes in the bargain bin. Loves Carlene Carter and Loretta Lynn. Tries to have fun on a Saturday night. Sunday morning don't shine too bright. It's welfare music. Watch the baby dance to the welfare music. Will she ever stand a chance? But one ain't here still. Chasing women and drinking beer. Says nobody understands how it feels. But that don't pay them monthly bills. Angry fat man on the radio. Wants to keep his taxes way down low. Says there ought to be a law. Angriest man you ever saw. Dance circles on the floor, round and round just like before. Baby fall down, baby get up. Baby needs a drink from a loving cup. It's welfare music. Watch the baby dance.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yeah, we may have had a little bit of a glitch in the stream here on this end. And for those of you listening who might be otherwise confused, the website's down, but there are links by which you can get into the chat room, and I've got all the links here for listening live, like that's going to do you any good if you can't hear me right. Oh, what am I doing? But if you're listening and you can't get into the chat room and you want to, you can shoot me an email and I'll send it. Yeah. These things happen. Sorry. Darn it. But we hope to have things fixed very, very soon. You know, it's kind of like, you know,
a really bad time to have this happen. But we'll get through it. And just to get this hour started off with a little something fun, I was about to forget something, and because I have the attention span of a wounded gnat sometimes when I get going on the air here. And I got this the other day from our buddy Lottie in the chat room. I got this suggestion for playing this tune, and it's a dandy. And so I wanted to make sure that I did play this from a gentleman by the name of Charlie Imes. And I think you can probably guess what the title is.
We have a winner. No need for review. Our fate was sealed when his actions revealed. He didn't have a clue. Cut down the trees for the forest's good health. Polluted the skies for the oil boys' wealth. When Gore kept on saying the world's getting warm, he talked about terrorists and a gathering storm.
Bump on up the alert level there, boys. What colors we got today? Orange? Okay, well, is there something better than that? Like a really angry purple? Or a mean green? I want to scare people, folks.
They'll teach your kids and leave no child behind. Research the Bible and cloud up their minds. Don't bother with science, they got fictional facts. And if you don't like it, here comes a terrorist attack.
You know, I found some Arabs in a Walmart the other day, shopping in the lawnmower section. You tell me they have grass in Arabia? Unless they're mowing sand, I need to find out. So I sent them down to Gitmo for questions.
Well, he's the worst president ever. That much is clear. No money for the poor folks. No marriage for the queers. They'll kill you all for peace. He's not really too clever. Corporations do well and the rest go to hell. He's just the worst president ever.
No? What about Edgar J. Hoover?
Katrina made landfall, New Orleans goes down. Back in the dome, let the rest of them drown. FEMA got grilled by the media mob. Depressed old Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
He was. All right, fine. Send down some mobile homes then. Oh, wait, don't send them just yet. What's that land worth down there? Well, why is everybody upset with me? Don't you remember September 9/11 yet?
Well, he's the worst president ever. That much is clear. No money for the poor folks. No marriage for the queers.
That would be impossible.
They'll kill you all for peace. He's not really too clever. Corporations do well and the rest go to hell. He's just the worst president ever.
Well, what do you want to do? Impeach me?
And what of Dick Cheney? Just lying in wait. God forbid that he ever gets a chance to step to the plate. He'll hit North Korea, Venezuela, and Iran. Diplomacy's just a waste of your time when you've got the bombs. They fired the generals and Rummy was wrong. Gitmo became abrogated before long. Gonzo said Geneva's conventions are moot. Waterboard them all. Won't that be a hoot?
Sounds like a whole lot of fun to me. Don't sound like torture. We were waterboarding because they were thirsty, so we feed them water. It's a tropical resort down there. They're eating vegetables and having a fish fry.
Yeah, he's the worst president ever. That much is clear. No money for the poor folks. No marriage
nations do well, and the rest go to hell. He's just the worst president ever. When corporations do well, the rest go to hell. He's just the worst president ever.
You know what that means?
Worst president ever.
Means I'm number uno.
Worst president ever.
Top that, Chucko.
Worst president ever.
I'm still going to have all y'all investigated.
That's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. Charlie Imes and Worst President Ever. I imagine it's probably available for purchase on iTunes. And, you know, it might be an artifactual thing worth hanging on to. Because if something should go sideways, if something should get absolutely upside down on Tuesday and don't think it can't, we might see. That's the thing. There may be another one of those learning curves involved here, because
martial law.
No, we could find out that he used to be. He might have to give up his crown as worst president ever, because Lumpy McHoover has all the charm of George Bush and half the sanity, and that ain't, you know, we're talking, you know, measuring reverse exponentially or something, but mathematics that I don't understand. But I couldn't help thinking, you know, with all the references to Osama and everything, you did see this, right? Probably did. ABC News reporting, you know, the mouse is reporting, the rat, that multiple senior government officials tell ABC News the intelligence community is anticipating, mind you, that may be a fancy word for busily recording a message from Osama bin Laden before or just after the presidential election.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Sources say a number of intelligence analysts have concluded it is critical for al-Qaeda's top leader to be seen or heard, if only for public relations purposes. Oh, God. PR's found its way to the caves in Pakistan. Those analysts believe that if bin Laden is not heard from, he runs the risk of being considered irrelevant or impotent. Well, he needs to ask Bob Dole. He could probably loan him some of those little blue pills, because after seeing how hateful Liddy is, I wouldn't know. The U.S. intelligence community has some indication that there is some confusion among Islamic radicals about their leadership. And there really is. Even al-Qaeda is split as to who it wants in the White House, because just the other day they came out and said they want McCain elected because they know that he'll continue to poke the Middle East with a sharp stick and keep on serving as a walking, talking, living, well, almost semi-living, sometimes breathing, recruiting poster for al-Qaeda. On the other hand, another al-Qaeda leader has called for President George W. Bush and the Republicans to be humiliated. Oh, God, humiliate Bush and his party. Oh, Lord of the worlds, degrade and defy him, Abu Yahya al-Libi said at the end of the sermon marking the Muslim feast of Eid al-Fitr in a video posted on the Internet. This is up there at the top of the page. The photograph that goes with it is what gave me an impromptu giggle when I saw what they'd done. Oh, over at WD40.com. God, guys, that's just unfair. I usually see it. And I shouldn't even be laughing at it.
No, really,
it's just cheap. It's just cheap humor. Just bad, cheap humor. But, you know, it would not be beyond Osama to put out an ad, because I remember when George was running in 2004 and Osama popped out of his cave with this one.
Paid for by Bush Cheney 04 Inc.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
My name is Osama bin Laden, and I am a terrorist in the greater Pakistan area. And for the record, I think you people have a funny accent too. You know, when I bombed your buildings on 9/11, I knew you would come after me. But I needed more. I needed to tell my Muslim brothers and sisters that the West was on a new crusade, and George W. Bush was the man for the job. Allah knows. I tried to get your William Jefferson Clinton to start a crusade, but he was far too smart. With your George W. Bush, though, it was like giving baklava to a baby. And in the bargain, I even got rid of my hated enemy, Saddam Hussein. Oh, the future is so bright, I am needing to wear sunglasses.
Uncle Osama, are we going to play hide the Moussaka tonight?
Not now, my son, my dusty desert rosebud. Uncle is working. So, when you go to the polls this November, remember, al-Qaeda votes Republican. And, inshallah, so will you.
You know, I probably should have figured out that the handwriting was on the wall when I ran that on terrestrial radio in 2004.
You know what that reminds me of? Have you ever seen the image of Osama as Uncle Sam and it says, I want you to invade Iraq?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ran that in the weird little right-wing fundamentalist general manager called me. Bob, the Bush campaign has called us. You're using their actual disclaimer announcement on there, Bob. You can't do that. I said, of course I can, you dumbass. It's parody, it's satire, and it's less than 20 seconds long. It's fair game. Don't do that, Bob. They'll pull the money. I said, well, shame on you for taking it. But we have to. The FCC says we have to. And besides that, did I remind Bob, he's a man of God, Georgia. He's been put in his office by God.
He looked into his eyes.
And saw Jesus.
It was, shall we say, a rocky relationship from the start.
I bet.
Then I gave away the book and had the author on the air, gave away the book Generation Slut. And I mean, it was a legitimate book. It was a real book, but it was Generation Sexually Liberated Urban Teens was what Slut stood for. And fundamentalist general manager, you know, all the blood just drained right out of his face. That's sitting on the desk waiting for people to come. Well, what do you want them to do? Come to your house for it? Oh, what a bunch of jackassed morons, right-wing radio station. Oh, management. Oh. So, you know, look, some of this, it's going to get, well, I've been saying it for months now. It's going to get sicker and sicker and weirder every day till the election comes around. And, I mean, there are photographs that have been found on the web. Let's see. Was it upstate? Was it Ohio or New York or Pennsylvania? An Obama sign was apparently smeared with feces in the shape of a swastika.
Well, I could believe it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was another photo that I saw of a guy wearing Beat Obama to Death on a T-shirt.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the bear that was found on campus? Did you hear about that one?
Yeah, I did. Over in Western North Carolina. And I don't get that one. Bear market. Bear market.
Yeah.
And so some poor little Appalachian black bear just got...
Support for the team.
Just sad. So
that's twisted, man.
Yeah,
but it is going to get weirder and weirder and weirder. Yeah, I think poor little caribou Barbie is about to, you know, just vibrate loose like a spaceship re-entering Earth or something. Again, from ABC News, they're reporting their MTI's Delawala is reporting that Sarah Palin ran off script again. In the last day or so, and said that. Did you guys see the story about these tapes that are out there? Back when he was just a humble state legislator, and constitutional law professor, he was asked to come on the Chicago public radio station and discuss the Constitution and the law in America, and the constitutional law professors can wax geeky. I mean, for days. They don't have that. You can't tell that they're breathing. They never drink water. They don't stop for food. They just go into 110% pure geek mode. When they get to talking about the Constitution. And that's what this was. I mean, the News Ninja Gene sent me the links to the things, and I sat there and I devoted a portion of, you know, finite portion of my life that I'll never get back to listening to these things. And, you know, they're interesting if that's what you're into. But the Republicans found it, and they have declared, Sarah Palin lied. You know, ABC News says that Sarah Palin inaccurately claimed that Obama called the lack of redistributive change during the civil rights movement a tragedy. No, what inaccurately? No, 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 no. I hate milquetoast journalism. I hate it. It gives me the fantods. Oh, I hate it.
That's okay, News Ninja Gene. You know, I appreciate it. It's just, you know, some of this stuff, I got to do it for my own good, because they were talking about it and having a fit about it. So there's Sarah Boo Barbie, who is claiming, just outright lying about what's on this tape. And she also says that he wants to rewrite the United States Constitution. Barack Obama wants to rewrite the United States Constitution.
How about we give them all a pop quiz and see who, you know, does the best?
Yeah, and everybody, all the repiglickens who failed just kind of have to leave. Or that, or, you know, we stuff a tennis ball in their mouth and wrap their heads with duct tape so they'll just shut the hell up until we can get stuff fixed.
Now that's a plan.
There were two rallies in Western PA last night, in which she made reference to the 2001 public radio interviews. And she said,
there he was, talking about the need for, quote, redistributive change, don't you know? Senator Obama said that he regretted that the Supreme Court hadn't been more radical, and he described the court's refusal to take up the issues of redistribution of wealth as a tragedy. You betcha. And he said he also regretted that the Supreme Court didn't break free from the essential constraints that were placed by the Founding Fathers there in the Constitution.
Well, there's only one problem with that.
He said the direct opposite.
I guess Rush Limbaugh edited that before she got it.
Funny you should mention.
Yeah. Oh, you're kidding.
you hang around me long enough, Nick. You'll learn. You'll learn.
You're on the money, man. You got almost a psychic quality to it, Bob.
It's just icky. She literally, this is where we are. Sarah Palin is actually taking talking points from Flush Flimball. I kid you not.
Obama, ladies and gentlemen, calls himself a constitutional professor or a constitutional scholar. In truth, Barack Obama was an anti-constitutional professor. He studied the Constitution, and he flatly rejected it. He doesn't like the Constitution. He thinks it is flawed. And now I understand why he was so reluctant to wear the American flag lapel pin.
Oh!
Why would he? He says, and to the extent as radical as I think people tried to characterize the Warren Court, it wasn't that radical. It didn't break free from the essential constraints that were placed by the Founding Fathers in the Constitution, at least as it's been interpreted. The Warren Court interpreted it in the same way.
Yeah, you see where this
way,
is going?
That generally the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. It says what the states can't do to you. It says what the federal government can't do to you. But it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf. Good Lord, ladies and gentlemen. I don't see how he can take the oath of office, which is this.
You know, I've mentioned it a number of occasions. It had a profound impact on me a couple of weeks ago when Guy James played that excerpt of FDR from one of his radio chats early on in the Great Depression, one of his radio chats with his audience in which he implored, fairly begged the American people to please go and read the Constitution so that they would know it and they would know where and whence and how government operates. And I guess some people took FDR up on his suggestion. I'm pretty confident that my forebears did, because of the learning that got passed down to me. Even though Flimball's granddaddy or some such was a Depression-era lawyer out there who, among other things, despised people who worked for a living, he was like a Bible thumper. Kind of owned it but didn't read it. And you can tell it from this kind of babble. Because everything that Obama said was true. There's a lot of thou shalt nots. You know, it is a negative statement. When the First Amendment says that the Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion, or there shall be no religious test for holders of office, or there shall be no restraints on free speech, or the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, or no warrant for arrest shall issue except upon probable cause, or that no prisoner shall be called upon to give testimony against himself in a court of law, or that those are all in the negative. They are thou shalt nots. But Obama is also correct when he said that there's not a lot of thou shalts in there. And even the later stuff that appears to be in the positive actually has a negative connotation. When women were finally enfranchised, it was in the form of thou shalt allow the women to vote, but its practical effect was thou shalt quit trying to keep women from voting. Obama is intelligent and he's correct, and yet this weird freak, I'll let him do it for himself.
I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States, and I will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. He has rejected the Constitution. Here's more Obama. He has to add, if he could come up for a rationale for bringing about economic change through the courts, he would do it.
Yeah, the courts just not very good at it, and politically it's very hard to legitimize opinions from the court in that regard. So, I mean, I think that although you can craft theoretical justifications for it legally, you know, I think you can, any three of us sitting here could come up with a rationale for bringing about economic change through the courts.
Right, redistribution.
Dumbass, lion, SOB, flush, flimball, play the rest of the clip. What he said there, that's called a prepositional phrase. It's also sometimes known, for you sentence diagrammers out there, a dependent clause. Although you can craft a blah, blah, blah through the courts, although you can't, but see, he's dishonest. Flush Flimball is, what do you want from a guy who was, you know, sending the maid out with $30,000 to buy street drugs? The mind, you know, things happen to it, and, you know, you don't come all the way back. I mean, I got to admit, in this life, I've met people who, as the saying used to go, did too much. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was psychedelics, or smoked too much, or popped too many pills, or drank too much, and the ones that try to recover will tell you that it altered their consciousness on a permanent level, and everything once you get clean is an attempt to come back, mm-hmm, and get back and stay clean one day at a time, baby.
That's right.
Well, Flush Flimball has a couple of things going against him. One, he is the scion of a family that has always hated this country, hated the Constitution, hated the idea that working people could vote, hated working people. Two, he did that. I mean, you know, $30,000 in a cigar box and come back with $30,000 worth of Oxycontin and Vicodin, Lortab, the oxycodone, whatever.
Opiates.
Synthetic opiates, real opiates. Yeah, honey, whatever you can bring back, daddy needs a fix.
Bad.
Bad. And it sort of leached its way into this dishonesty portion of his brain, which was already hyper-developed. And he expects the little ditto monkeys out there, not expects, he knows. He knows that the little ditto monkeys out there will go, "Well, I'll be damned, you hear that? He said he wanted to use the Constitution, use the courts to redistribute the wealth." You know, what was Mad Al's corollary? The more likely it appears that a liberal will succeed, the chance of them being called a socialist approaches one. Yeah, she was a smart lady, Rachel Maddow. It goes on and on and on.
This is how he views the Supreme Court. This is what, and he will have the power to populate it with people who believe in these very things.
But what he actually said was, for instance, he criticized the civil rights issue or the civil rights movement for trying to rely too much on the courts and not relying enough on change on the street level. And, you know, you, Nick, Benji, you know, we can go to court all day long.
Yeah, exactly.
But until the American people say enough, we don't want it. We don't actually have to have three refrigerators and two freezers going and six TVs hanging on the wall and leave our every light in the house and our computers going overnight. That until we change attitudes,
nothing will get done.
Nothing's going to get finalized or fixed.
Yeah, man. Obama's a ground up guy. You know, it's that grassroots mentality, organizer.
And see, if you go back to the Brown versus Board of Education and the progeny that comes out of that, there is a phrase. I'm not sure if it's in Brown or if it's one of the progeny where it says that desegregation shall be accomplished. And you know, the Supreme Court wrote this, that desegregation would be accomplished with all deliberate speed. And you go and you look up the meaning of all, and that's pretty self-evident. And you look up the meaning of speed, and that's pretty easy. But then you realize what a little monkey wrench they threw into the process, because you look up deliberate, and deliberate means slow. The court said that desegregation would be accomplished with all slow speed. Wow, you know, fat-free fat. Sugar, God almighty. Peaceful war.
Nicotine cigarettes. Nicotine-free cigarettes.
Yeah, baby.
Plain gold.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And so...
That speaks from the entire perspective, man. I mean, it speaks to the trickle-down idea, you know, looking from the top down or the bottom up, man. You know, that's really where it's at. So, you know, I don't care what that guy says about people being at work, man. They're not at work. They're at home screaming at their broker because that trickle-down policy isn't making sense anymore.
You know, it's not trickling. Well, no, it's not that the trickle-down's not working anymore. Suddenly the trickle-up's drying up, too.
Yeah, everything.
And that didn't trickle. That's a flow-up. Mm. And that's the thing that drives me crazy out of all this, you know, he's a wealth redistributor. Jesus and his brother Harry. We have had 8 long, miserable years of wealth redistribution upward.
That's right.
I mean, we
ain't seen it.
God almighty, we had, remember the debate about the lockbox in 2000? Everybody going, ha, 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 look at that Al Gore, he wants a lockbox. Hey, honey. And what he was talking about was preserving the surplus and making us financially sound. Mark Levine referred in his hour to the fact that Alan Greenspan actually made a joke. He said, what if we pay off the national debt? Where will we put all the money? Huh? Don't know, but you know what? I'd love to try to find out. But it was a joke. It was all a joke because we were in such good shape. We had a surplus, and George Bush came in and gave it away. You know, the surplus was gone. The surplus was gone by March of 2001. No, you know, no Mohammed Atta, no planes into buildings. No, it was gone when he gave it away, and he didn't. Where's your surplus?
Yeah.
Got that check
yet?
I thought I left it laying around here, but I did the dog.
I lost it, I think. Yeah.
You're damn right you lost it.
That's right.
You lost it before you ever saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that surplus actually, you know, we are of a certain age. That surplus might have made it possible for us not to have to work till we're damn 90 years old to get Social Security.
I think it was like, what was it, $4 trillion? Dollar surplus we had when Clinton left office.
I don't remember the exact number, but it was enough to make Social Security rock solid, so far out in the distance that the sky, the horizon line would be impossible to see.
Now we're over $10 trillion in deficit,
and
more and more. It's constantly going.
And so, as a consequence of that, really, I have to. Me, I got my little stupid statement in the mail the other day. I have to work until I'm 70, maybe older than that, and I'm 45. I got to work and pay Social Security until I'm a septuagenarian, and then I get a check for maybe $900, and that's going to be worth what? Quick, do the math, 18, 28, 2023? What's $900 going to be worth in 2023?
Back to work, Grandpa.
Welcome to Walmart.
I love you. I love you.
Yeah, welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
And you know, this guy, he did this on October 27th, okay? Flush Flimball said all this garbage on October the 27th.
That was, what, 3 days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's yeah. 3 days ago, and then by October the 28th, Sarah Palin is... standing there in Western PA saying, there he was, talking about the need for, quote, redistributive change. Senator Obama said that he regretted that the Supreme Court hadn't been more radical. And like I said, it turned out that he actually said the complete
opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they're worried about wealth spreading. I saw, you know, I get these right-wing emails, guys, and I love to keep an eye on what the freaks are doing. But there it was, you know, the sort of sky blue Obama symbol with the O and the sunrise in the middle of the O and there it was, and some right winger had transformed it by putting a hammer and sickle around it.
Man,
they'll try anything.
You know, that's offensive on many levels. You know, it's a smack at Obama.
Well, they try anything. You know, like,
let me remind Barack Obama of something else. When judges don't confiscate your property and your hard-earned, all of your hard-earned money and then redistribute that, he may call it a tragedy, but I call it fairness and adherence to our U.S. Constitution, don't you know?
Good God. So, really, this moron is taking her talking points straight from right-wing hate radio.
How you feel about that, America? Your VP is getting tips from Rush Limbaugh.
Sometimes in politics, it's those candid little moments, don't you know, that give us the whole picture? You betcha. But our opponent's ideological commitment to spread your wealth around has been tried in other societies, and the only thing it ever spreads is scarcity and poverty and bureaucracy, and it stifles the entrepreneurial spirit.
Remember when George Bush said, you know what the problem is with the French? They don't have a word for entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurial spirit that made this country the greatest country on earth.
Why did she want to leave the country then?
Did you tell me and we'll both know?
Yeah.
I mean,
her husband. Both.
Todd.
Yeah, where's he at?
Todd.
Let's leave the country.
Have we seceded yet, Todd?
Keep up the good work, boys.
The fires of hell are frozen glaciers compared to my hatred for the United States of America and her damn flag.
That's the guy that they thought.
I know, dude.
The bridge to nowhere.
He meant that. You don't say it like that and not mean it.
That's no, right. Yeah, you're pretty serious.
Twisted.
This is a complete war at this point on everything that we... There's that picture again. On everything that we might value for the working class, and again, I reject middle class, upper class, lower class, two classes, working and not. Look, here's another. Okay, here's some free market economics for you. I love this right out of the New York Times today. Yesterday. Headline: Women buying health policies pay a penalty. Striking new evidence has emerged of a widespread gap in the cost of health insurance as women pay much more than men of the same age for individual insurance policies providing identical coverage, according to new data from insurance companies and online brokers. And the insurance executives, by the way, expressed surprise.
Really? You mean we're getting extra money? Oh, my goodness.
And so they said... Well, the reason we do that, you know, they called up one of the chief accountants or what?
The reason we do that is that women often fare worse than men in the individual insurance market because women at the same age as men use more medical services, for instance, when they're having babies. That's why we have to charge more. They cost more.
Well, that's only, that's, okay, but the problem is that even insurance for women that doesn't cover maternity care still costs more for women of the same age than it does for men. So that argument kind of goes out the window. And that's why, you know, that's why we talk about things like the pay equity and workplace justice. Because it's not there. So to recap, the average woman in America gets 76 cents an hour for every dollar an hour a guy makes. And then, if she has health insurance, she pays more than the guy does in the first place. Gets it coming and going.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is outside of the fashion dodge and the cosmetics dodge. You know, maybe it's time we started paying attention, and I think Barack Obama's trying to do this. Maybe it's time we started paying attention to the war on women.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it. Honest to God, I couldn't. If every, you know, look, I think I've had this pair of khakis for 4 years. God, this ratty old red T-shirt, I ordered it during the Clinton administration, okay? And lucky for me, it's still fashionable.
Yeah, really, Bob? Because it actually says 1902 on the arm.
And I'll be damned, it really does. But, you know, we're lucky. On the other hand, you know, and, you know, Agnes is frugal. She's still got some Clinton administration clothes back there.
Hey, if they're still good and they still fit.
Well, yeah, we're working people, we're hill people, right. And you don't just. But the rest of America, you know, there are entire advertising schemes. Madam, you're ugly, and you're dressing funny. Quickly, go and run up your credit card debt. And, well, I'm way out of my area of expertise, if there is one. But I would be, you know, I'd be curious. Ladies, I mean, how do you resist this stuff? Do you just ignore it? And see, to a certain extent, as a guy, the same thing. I was once a fashion horse. I mean, bad. And I had a subscription coming in from GQ and Esquire and all
official.
Of that stuff.
Official.
Yeah, baby.
Ooh.
And, you know, and the Ermin Gildo Ferrazio Guglioni suit here is only $25,000. But even then, I'd look at me, that's a nice suit. It ain't that. It ain't
no,
that
it ain't
nice.
$25,000.
Yeah, any suit that costs $25,000, as far as I'm concerned, has to come with a hooker in the pocket.
For life.
Yeah. You know. Beer Volcano and Stripper Factory, you know, the Flying Spaghetti Monster Heaven kind of thing. And, you know, but you thumb through these things. And even the good magazines, like, you know, the Vanity Fair with their green issue out there.
Yeah.
Bless their heart, they published the green issue by going out there and getting Patek Philippe to pay them, you know, $500,000 for a bunch of ads in the magazine. But that's okay, because they've only got to sell 10 watches to make it back. And,
yeah.
But really, honest to God, if you had it, would you do it? And so, you know, it is aimed a little bit at men that way, but not nearly to the extent that it is at American women. And frankly, it pisses me off. Because, well, Agnes and I have been married, real quick, do the math.
Better hurry.
Yeah, I know. It'll be 15 years in 2009, I think. It's a range between 14 and 16.
Better let her. You say that, Bob.
No, it'll be 16 years. It'll be 16 years. Yeah. Okay.
What's the date, Bob?
What's the date? Today is the 30th day of October.
Not today.
That whole woman audience you were just appealing to, Bob, you just lost.
May the 1st is the anniversary.
That's
day.
Good.
Yeah, because it's May Day.
Yeah.
And on the anniversary, I always tell the wedding story. So you'll have to be around for that one, because Agnes like leaves the county. That and the Thanksgiving story. Yeah. But you know, it'll be 16 years next May. And I think she's drop-dead gorgeous, and I'm hoping to be on the planet long enough to be utterly convinced that she is the absolute hottest 99-year-old woman around. Yeah, because I'm crazy about her. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart to see her be driven mad by advertising. And people, you know, because most of commercial advertising is, you know, you dress funny, you smell bad, and your teeth are rotting.
Story of stuff.
There you go. The story of stuff. Storyofstuff.com. If you haven't, you must.
You really must.
I don't know. It's all very frustrating because it seems that the things that we need relief from most are the things that at least the right wing wants to talk about the least. Health insurance? Honest to God, we charge women more for health insurance. And, but that's okay because they don't want to talk about that. You got another right-wing yammerhead? Here, let's try Dennis Prager on for size.
Folks, let me tell you something. Equality, which is the primary value of the left, is a European value, not an American value.
Got that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Equality, which is the primary value of the left, is a European value, not an American value. So here we are talking about equality. Gender equality, sexual equality, racial equality, equality, ethnic equality, equality. You know, it really doesn't need adverbs, adjectives, modifiers, whatever. Equality, just equality. And you got Dennis Prager, who is, I mean, this guy's deemed, a lot of people think he's really actually smarter than Flush Flimball. Well, folks, it's a primary value of the left. It's a European value, not an American value. So, you know, I hate America because I guess they're saying I hate America because I want women, you know, I've got daughters and I want them to have the same kind of shot in this world that a man has, if there is any shot to be had in this country after all the repig lickings have done to it. But it's not an American value. So just go on for a minute. Listen to the wing nuts applaud. Oh, they loved it when he said that equality is a European value, because those people don't want to be equal.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
This sounds offensive to half of my fellow Americans because they have been Europeanized in their values.
You mean the woman half or the normal non-insane half?
The French Revolution is not the American Revolution. The French Revolution said liberty, fraternity, equality. The American Revolution said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
You got that? We're not French. We are not French. Clap more, you idiots!
Distinctive American values are. We have distinctive American values. There are beautiful people in France. There are ugly people in America. One has nothing to do with the other. Of course that is true. There are beautiful people everywhere. There are ugly people everywhere. We're talking values. We have a better value system, and this is being protected by one of the two parties, the Republican Party.
You got that? Only the Republican Party can guarantee American values.
American.
You know, I bet the caterer of that.
Because that equality business, that's French.
That's right. I bet the caterer served freedom fries.
Yeah, people that want to be equal. They eat snails and rotten things that grow on the bottoms of logs and stuff, and they hunt for them with pigs. That's what equality will get you. You'll be eating food dug up by pigs. There's only one problem. Well, what did he say there?
The French Revolution said liberty, fraternity, equality. Liberté, fraternité, égalité, égalité. The American Revolution said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, the American Revolution said something else. Before it gets to the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness part. Civics lesson? Anybody? We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Oopsie, Dennis Prager, you right-wing moron.
He left that part out.
There's that rush edit.
Bingo, exactly. We're just going to edit out that part of the decoration.
We don't need that part.
Dennis, we can edit that out, okay?
Okay. Yeah, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creators with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Again, it's one of those English class moments. Clauses, independent and dependent, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. See, so we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Point one, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Point two, what are the rights, Tom? Well, thank you, Bob. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Wow. Wow.
Powerful stuff.
But this guy just sits there to addressing a bunch of...
whatever.
Dumbasses.
Pulls it out like, oh, here's the part I didn't wipe with.
Yeah. Bingo. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad I went to that rally today, Muriel. He set me straight. I ain't no Frenchman, and you ain't equal to me. What are you doing with that iron skillet?
She better remember that.
Yeah. So it was kind of a dodgy, weird little program this evening, but thanks a million for participating in it any way that you did. Phones were kind of silent, but that's not your fault. That's A, our internet went down. And B, we have other things that are preventing people from finding the stream who usually find it through, like, the website and stuff. But things will be fixed presently and post-haste. I thank you, those of you who are here, those of you who listen by podcast, those of you, you know, the archives, or who listen on the constantly rotating Head On Radio Network 24-hour stream at iTunes Radio or... also at WhiteRoseSociety.org, at, let's try some of the other ones. How about, I usually have a list. The list fell down. But anyway, thank you. Thank you very kindly. And I will throw this in. It is the next to last day of October. Tomorrow is Halloween. We'll try to do something fun for Halloween evening, you know, some sort of spooky reading or something. I don't know, maybe we'll read you a Sarah Palin speech, and that'll probably make you wet yourself. But at any rate, we are listener-supported, you know that. And it has been, as I said last night, a tough month. We did crawl over the halfway mark of what we need to raise on any given month to stay on the air. And so that means that we will have to find a way out of our own pockets to make it happen next month. And that makes it tough. But, you know, we could make the numbers a little bit better, hopefully, between tonight and maybe tomorrow. That would be nice. But thank you for what you do and how hard you work to do what you do. It is a humbling experience to know that so many people want to see this keep going and are trying so blessed hard. Thank you. Thank you for your calls, your emails, your participation in the chat room. Thank you to everybody who makes the horn go. Moderators in the chat room, folks like Lottie and ELO, who is officially the den mother of the chat room, by the way. Thanks to the News Ninjas, Susan, whom we hope is getting considerably better all the time, and News Ninja Gene. Thank you to Texas Betsy, our blogger, who helps to get the word out about the horn. And, we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening. Thank you to John Fox and Peter Godbold, our chief engineer and our IT professional, respectively. The hardest working man in liberal talk and the most overworked one to boot is Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Virtually everything you hear in the way of liberal talk on the internet now was saved and in large part made possible by the hard work of Ben Birch when he started WhiteRoseSociety.org. He never sends a bill. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, two of them are sitting here with me this evening. The folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Their dedication to making sure that conversation, discussion, and dialogue is out there is evident every night, as is their hard work when you go to crmw.net and coalriverwind.org. You can help be a part of the solution that will save not only Appalachia, but the rest of this nation, and in fact, yea, verily, the world, by standing shoulder to shoulder with the folks at CRMW, Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.